Hi, I'm Carmen LaBerge. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hey friends, welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. Thank you for joining me here today. We are seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday in ways that honor Jesus. We're trying to connect faith to life. We are seeking to get God back into the conversations of our day. So how do we do that? What's in the headline news that is topping concern in conversations that you're having or the conversations going on around you where you as an ambassador of Jesus Christ are responsible to bring God into those conversations? Well, let me lead off with the news headline that the remains of U.S. service members killed in the Korean War have been returned to the United States by North Korea. We're certainly rejoicing with those families who are rejoicing. This is an answer to prayer for many and provides great comfort. I think that the conversation for us to engage in is, what is it about the importance of having the physical body? What is it about that makes it so important in terms of experiencing real closure after death? We certainly would recognize that there are some cultures and some religious expressions where actual physical proximity to the remains of generations past is of some import. But does that matter from a biblical worldview? Does matter matter? Does the final resting place matter? Well, if we look to Scripture, we could go all the way back to the cave of the patriarchs where Abraham is buried. That's right. We actually know where Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob and Leah are all buried together in the same tomb. The only Jewish matriarch missing is Rachel. She, in biblical tradition, is described as being buried in Bethlehem. Again, we know where she's buried. We know where she lies. And so why does it matter? Why do people go and visit what they understand to be the burial place of Jesus? He's not even there anymore. In fact, that's the joy of visiting the tomb of Jesus, is that it's empty. It's a declaration of the resurrection of the body. And so when we have these conversations about these remains being returned to the United States, I think that it provides opportunity to have serious conversations about what happens to the body after we die and why does it matter? Does it matter? There's a rise in the use of cremation among Americans, even religiously affiliated Americans. That's probably a conversation that we ought to be having. Matter matters because matter matters. The physical body actually does matter. Jesus came in physical human form as a human being. And he rose from death, physically resurrected from the dead. And it's the physical body that's going to be physically raised in resurrection for those who are in Christ. Now, how is that going to happen? Only God knows. When is that going to happen? Only God knows. But the Bible makes clear that just as Jesus was raised in physical human form in his physical body, so too shall we be raised in our physical bodies. And so, I think that in all kinds of ways, you can enter into the conversation about these remains being returned. And there are things that as a Christian, you can say about them. And it's certainly an opportunity for you and I to be thinking about what's going to happen to our physical bodies when we depart this life. And then ultimately, what's going to happen when we're raised to newness of life in Jesus Christ. All right, one more quick story before this show goes to the dogs today, which, yes, I know, I've already told you in advance, I'm at the coolest event I've ever attended, and it's the National Conference of Lutheran Church Charities Canine Comfort Dog Ministries. They're making me want to become a Lutheran. They're certainly making me want to become a part of a ministry related to dogs, because I have to tell you, if you're not following me on social media, this is the week to do so, because it's full of dogs and it's great. Okay, so you can follow me on Twitter at Carmen LaBerge and see what we're up to here. And literally the show is going to go to the dogs in just a few minutes when I have the president and CEO of the Lutheran Church Charities Comfort Dog Ministries here with me today. But before we get to that, I want to talk about one bad paint job in Egypt. So in a Cairo zoo, they have been trying to pass off a donkey as a zebra. And they've been doing this by painting a donkey with zebra stripes. Now, there's quite an uproar. There's great outrage that they've been trying to pass off a donkey as a zebra. And I just have to tell you that pretty much everybody knows that a donkey's not a zebra. Even if you paint a donkey to look like a zebra, it doesn't become a zebra. It's a donkey painted to look like a zebra. But what's wrong with that? Why be upset about that? Why not let an animal parade around as something that it is not? And let me ask you, why are so many people outraged over this misrepresentation, but are not outraged when one person passes themselves off as another kind of person? Maybe a man as a woman, or a woman as a man. So I am sure that on social media you have already heard this is referred to as zebra gate or donkey gate in relationship to what's happening in Egypt. So as a Christian, I want you to think about having this conversation along with a headline out of Alberta, Canada, where a man has declared himself to be a woman in order to save $1,100 a year on his car insurance. You heard me right. We have now arrived at the place where because the law allows for a man to declare himself as a woman or a woman to declare herself as a man, people are now figuring out there's some economic benefit depending which way you play that in which arena of life. So insurance rates are not for women what they are for men. And so if you want to get a better car insurance rate, all you must do is declare yourself to be a woman. Now, I recognize that for those who are who understand themselves to be transgendered, this sounds like I am making fun of very real issues. I'm simply trying to point out the hypocrisy in our conversations. All right? Let us not be upset that people are trying to pass off a donkey as a zebra. Let us not be upset that someone is capitalizing on rules and laws that say that men can declare themselves to be women, unless we're going to also be upset that there are people who are seeking to pass themselves off as something other than what biologically and genetically they really are. That's actually the kind of conversation that you and I need to be prepared to engage in when we talk about the creation of human beings in God's image as male and female. All right, so we could go several directions here today, but it's pretty exciting to actually just say to you that the show from here is literally going to the dogs. So I'm broadcasting live from the Lutheran Church Charities K9 Conference. It's happening near Chicago. Up next is my conversation with Tim Hetzner. He is the president and CEO of Lutheran Church Charities K9 Comfort Dog Ministries. And I'm Carmen LaBerge. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we'll be right back. All right, friends, indeed, the question of the hour here on Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. The question that we're asking is, who let the dogs out? Well, actually, we're asking better questions than that. I'm coming to you live today from the Lutheran Church Charities K9 Conference. You can follow it on social media at hashtag K9Conf, C-O-N-F, 2018. You can follow them on Twitter at K9 Comfort Dogs and on Facebook at K9 Comfort. Or you can just follow me, because I'm posting it all over my Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook this week at Carmen LaBerge. So let me welcome Tim. Tim Hetzner. Hetzner.
Hetzner.
I'm so sorry. That's There's no R in it. It's German.
My father's dead, so he won't roll over for you.
Okay. So Tim is the president and CEO of the Lutheran Church Charities K9 Comfort Dog Ministries. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you, Carmen. Looking forward to this.
Okay, so it's been really fun to be here with you all for this conference. Let's just introduce people to the ministry. What is the Comfort Dog Ministry?
Well, the Comfort Dog Ministry, we use golden retrievers that we train and train handlers in order to go out to engage people in their communities with the mercy, compassion, presence, and proclamation of Jesus Christ to people that are suffering and in need. So we respond in all situations, but many times crisis and disasters nationally. We send the dogs out to be that present, that bridge, in order to connect with people, in order to help people in times of need to be able to talk through what they've gone through and to pray with people, and to pray with the people also and support the people that are involved in crises, as the first responders and others. So it's a ministry of presence. You
know, so let's share with folks, okay, so only golden retrievers, first of all,
right.
Like, great. So we might wonder why only golden retrievers, although they are fantastic and beautiful. And I will tell you that being here with nearly 100 of them, there's little jealousy because they're all golden retrievers. I feel like if you, like last night when those corgis arrived here at the hotel, there was a, like, you know, there was some jealousy.
Yeah. Well, golden retrievers by nature are lovers. They're happy dogs. They're good inside and outside, which is important for us because we do both. It's easier for us just to have one breed of dog, but you want to breed a dog that is accepting by people. I mean, if we use pit bulls, I'm not sure we could pass them off as comfort dogs, although some people have pit bulls that bring them comfort. But golden retrievers is basically liked by all people, so we use those to be consistent in our branding. But they also have different colors, you know, so some are out in the sun longer than others, so they're darker or cream or European cream, but they're all they're all certified golden retrievers, AKC.
Okay, so when was this comfort dog ministry launched, and sort of what was the motivation behind doing so?
Well, actually, there's two dates, Kermit. There's the date that God launched it, and then there's the date that I finally woke up to it. The date that God launched it was when we were doing Katrina disaster response work. We had a crew of 23 medical staff in to Metairie right outside of New Orleans. We set up shop there at a church with medical supplies. And into that, FEMA asked us if we would do search and rescue of people and their pets. And we had never done search and rescue, but God opens doors. We did it. So we got flatboats, went out. And we saw the power of a pet with a person that they were willing to actually risk their life dying. I mean, they're on the roofs of their house and they're with their pet. And so we saw the power of a pet with a person in a crisis. And it just so happened that some of our DR people had some goldens. And so we started bringing out golden retrievers at disaster response situations and kept doing that. And finally, with a shooting in February 14th at Northern Illinois University, we were asked if we'd bring our dogs in. Well, we didn't have any dogs at that time, but we had people that had them, came on. And then the students invited us back in May before they graduate to bring the dogs up. And that's when God hit me on the head and says, put dogs in churches and schools and don't wait for a disaster. And not that that was on my agenda at all, but I know that... to fight against what God wants to do is a losing battle. So we started with four dogs in August of 2008. We start slow with two dogs. We kept internal and two in two different churches, and it exploded, and it still is. It is one of the most effective means of getting people outside of the walls of their church, out into a community to engage with others, because you don't have to go up to people. People come, oh, can I pet your dog? What kind of dog is it? Oh, it's a, you know, it's a comfort dog. It's a Christian dog. And they go, Christian dog? Yes, it's a Christian dog. Its whole purpose in life is to connect with people with mercy and compassion, share Jesus. And all of our dogs have their own business card. And, you know, people like dogs. And they're safe because, you know, not one of our dogs has ever gotten a theological argument with anybody. That they're very good listeners. They're confidential. They don't take notes, and they show unconditional love. I mean, how many friends do you have, Carmen, that have all four of those characteristics consistently? And a dog does.
So one of the things that I've learned this week, and again, friends, we're coming to you live from the Lutheran Church Charities K9 Comfort Dog Conference. You can check it all out at their website, LutheranChurchCharities.org, or on all kinds of social media. The hashtag you want to be looking for is K9Conf, C-O-N-F, 2018, or on Twitter at K9 Comfort Dogs. A lot of these dogs, Tim, I have learned this week, which, by the way, I feel like I now have nearly 100 friends who qualify based on your last description, because I've met them all this week. I've been photographed with them. I have loved on them. They have loved on me. It is an extraordinary experience. Many of these dogs have their own social media. Like, they have their own Instagram, they have their own Facebook pages, and so obviously there are some humans supporting the ministry that happens with the dogs. So talk with us about the people who are involved in this ministry.
Well, each of the dogs have their own personal administrative assistant called a human. We don't do this to be cute. We, you know, it's about relationships, always, particularly when you're in ministry and you're talking about Jesus. And so when anyone pets one of our dogs, they get one of their business cards. And they like the dog on Facebook or something, and they start communicating with the dog, sometimes as if it's a counselor. But it prolongs a relationship and a building of that relationship through the social media. And it keeps us engaging with people. And people all the time are texting or writing messages of something has happened. How do I handle this? There, please pray for me. So it's ministry that's done. And it, without social media, with the dogs, a lot of times you put the dog and you go, well, that's not what we're about. It's about relationships, because it's about Jesus. He was all about relationships and building those relationships and building that support for people to be with people no matter what it is that they're going through in their life.
I particularly appreciate that each and every one of these dogs is connected to a local church. Mm-hmm. And so this is not, this is not a dog ministry that's out there, you know, sort of floating free of the church. This is, each one of these dogs is sponsored by and then connected with a team of humans in a local congregation. So why is that? What's the motivation behind having local congregations not just sponsoring this, but then actively engaged and mobilized in this ministry?
Well, first of all, I was in parish ministry 25 years. The front line of ministry is the parish, number one. Number two, none of our dogs are owned by an individual. They're owned by a congregation, church, school, or university, so that they can go out every day and work. And they want to work. You know, if our dogs sit around for a couple of days and not work, they're nervous. They want to get out there. That's why they are here. It's like God created me so that I can touch people and that and engage with people. So we want them to work every day. And I think going out through those churches, we want to establish community. It's not that we're out trying to get people to join churches. In fact, we tell people, don't invite them to church. Invite them to be part of a community of like-minded people that are out helping people. It's not about membership in a church. It's inviting people to come to see and know Jesus. And wherever they land with whatever tribe they do, that's fine. But that's not our end result. Our end result is to get people to heaven. And that's because of Jesus Christ. But you've got to bring Jesus so they can see Jesus and learn about Jesus, and then Jesus does the rest.
I think there's a lot of people listening who would recognize, you know, the kind of the saying that it's our responsibility to put flesh on the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. We're, so, you know, the ministry of presence. We as human beings who are in a relationship with God, restored through Jesus Christ, redeemed in Him, we put flesh, we incarnate the gospel to other people. What you guys are talking about is you can also put fur on the gospel.
That's right.
And so what have you seen happen? Tell us a story of transformation that has taken place through this ministry.
A story?
Well, we have to pick one at a time. People only pay attention to one story at a time.
Well, first of all, I think what's important, you see people in crisis and disasters many times are frozen. I remember a boy in Sandy Hook who was in the classroom, one of the classrooms in the shooting, and he had not talked for 4 days. And we were out at a community center. This was before the school opened back up. We were out with our dogs. And the parents brought this young boy out, fourth grade, I believe. And they came to us and said, you know, he hasn't talked in 4 days to anybody about anything. He's just like, you know. And the boy stood back, and we stood back a little bit, and the boy slowly approached the dog. The dog then laid down. The boy laid on top of the dog with his head positioned so he could lift up the ear of the dog, and he talked to the dog, told him what happened in the classroom. It was the first time he talked. Parents were just crying. But it was formation in the healing process of being able to talk it through in a safe environment. And, of course, that the dog is the bridge for that. And I see that over and over again because they listen. They're confidential. They don't take notes. And you know what? Conditional love.
Your ministry stays engaged. Because obviously the dogs who deployed to Sandy Hook, right, mm-hmm. Or the dogs who deployed to the Pulse after the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, or the dogs who deployed more recently in Texas, they are responding to a particular crisis. But each and every one of these dogs, there are how many? There are like nearly 100.
They're about probably 130. We're in 23 states.
Okay. But every single one of those dogs goes to work every single day.
Absolutely.
So tell people what these dogs are doing in between the things that we would recognize as headline crises. How is it that these dogs are engaged in ministry in these communities?
They're in nursing homes. They're in hospitals. They're invited to funerals. They're invited with hospice people. They're invited for birthday parties for an 80-year-old. They're whatever that comes to us. And understand, we never, ever go any place with our dogs unless we're invited. And we never charge those we serve because you don't put a price tag on the gospel. And we pick up all of our own expenses. And our dogs are trained professionally with a standard because we represent Jesus Christ. And our handlers are trained to understand that it's not about them. It's about the person we're serving. And because of all that, people were safe and were professional, and people invite us in to all kinds of circumstances. And then we also go out and the crisis calls another. But it opens doors and gets people out of the walls. And it helps people that normally wouldn't engage in listening to people or praying with people to see that it's not rocket science. It's being Jesus and let the Holy Spirit work.
All right, friends, you can check out more at LutheranChurchCharities.org. You can check out social media related to this particular conference at hashtag K9, that's the letter K, the number 9, CONF 2018, or on Twitter at K9 Comfort Dogs. Obviously, I'm posting about it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram this week. Tim, if somebody wanted to get involved, what would be the first step?
Well, the first step would be is to talk to their pastor at their church or to give us a call. They can be minister helpers of, you know, as long as they know Jesus Christ. Give us a call and we'll make it work.
All right, friends. Again, it's LutheranChurchCharities.org. The show is going to still be going to the dogs here after the break. We're going to be talking with Tobias. Tobias is actually one of the comfort dogs. He's brought his handler, actually his top dog, with him today. Her name is Jenny, and she's going to be articulating things for Tobias because, well, frankly, he speaks in size too deep for words. This is Carmen LaBerge. You're listening to Connecting Faith. We'll be right back. Hey, friends, who's your best friend? Dogs are man's best friend. That's the connection there to our little comeback music. This is Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. And we're coming to you live today from an event just outside of Chicago called the Lutheran Church Charities K9 Conference. You can follow it on social media, hashtag K9Conf, C-O-N-F, 2018. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook because I'm just posting about it because it's so much fun and I'm here. So there you go. So here with me now is Jenny Hoffmeyer. Jenny is Tobias's top dog. Tobias is an actual dog who is involved in the K9 Comfort Ministries. And Jenny is a part of the team that supports Tobias. Jenny, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you, Carmen. Thanks for having us.
Okay, so tell us where you live and where Tobias lives and who's involved in, like, supporting him and what he does.
Tobias lives with me at my home, but he belongs to my church, Lord of Glory Lutheran Church in Grays Lake, Illinois. And I am the top dog. And for anybody in this ministry, even if you're a female, it's okay to be called a dog. This is the one time we're okay with that. And he works with seven handlers, and we serve in and around Grays Lake. But I also serve as his caregiver. So he comes home to my house every night, and he lives with us.
Okay, so there's people who are listening who are like, oh, this ministry just got so much more interesting. Right. Because they're like, these dogs live with people.
They live with people. They're regular dogs. They do work almost every day. They really don't necessarily need a break, but we don't overwork them any days. So the rest of the day, they're normal dogs, always really well behaved.
Yeah,
they do live with people.
So they're exceptionally well behaved. So when I walked into the conference center yesterday, I knew there were, 100 and some dogs in the room and 500 people, and I could see the people, but I couldn't see any dogs. And so it took me a while before I started seeing like noses poking out from underneath the table skirts. And then every once in a while, a tail, or somebody would get up and then take their dog out. But yeah, incredibly well behaved.
Very well behaved. They do have rules because they are working dogs. So when we eat at home, they have to sit on a mat. And Tobias is very, very smart. We get our plates out of the cabinet, and he just goes to the mat. He doesn't even have to be told to go to the mat anymore. So they're not allowed on furniture. It's mostly because we have to be consistent across the board. When we go out of town, he goes to a backup caregiver. They have the same rules so that when I go into a nursing home, Tobias isn't going to jump up on a couch, or he's not going to jump up on a bed, because he doesn't do that in our homes.
Right. So in order to catch a picture of Tobias on the microphone here in our little makeshift studio, you gave Tobias a specific command.
I did.
Otherwise, he would not have put his feet in my lap and stood up to the microphone.
Correct. That command was called Rise. That gives people an opportunity to hug Tobias, especially if they're in a wheelchair. It's a really popular command when we go to schools and the kids really want to hug him or have their picture taken with him and not be on the floor with him.
So I also like lap. Mm-hmm. Lap has become my new favorite command, because when one of the handlers will give their dog the lap command, these giant dogs like pretty much put themselves in your lap.
Correct. Yes.
It's amazing.
It is. Yeah. It's a great way to hug them too.
Okay. So I'm Carmen LaBurge. You're listening to Connecting Faith. My conversation partner is Jenny Hoffmeyer. Jenny is the top dog for Team Tobias. Tell us what Tobias does when he goes to work every day.
He visits, well, it's school break now, but typically we go to schools. That's a main part of our daily routine. And we visit about 8 schools, and only one of them is a Christian school. The rest are public schools. He visits assisted living nursing homes. He visits hospitals. Because we're close to Lutheran Church Charities, they get a lot of invitations. So a lot of our calendar is helping out staff those events, and that could be anywhere in the Chicagoland area. And then if need be, we deploy.
So give us an example of somewhere that Tobias has been deployed.
Most recently, he deployed to Benton, Kentucky, where there was a school shooting. About 2 weeks after that, I believe, Parkland, the school shooting happened, and we were in Parkland. Those are the most recent ones that he's been to.
So you arrive, Tobias and his team arrive at one of these places. Just tell people what happens.
Well, you're entering into a horrible situation that most people, you pray nobody's ever going to have a situation like the ones they're experiencing. And this is a time where they've seen horror. And we come in and we're humbled to be there. As Tim said, we only go where we're invited. And we provide a presence for them to help them escape a little bit of the horror that they've seen. When we were in Benton, Kentucky, we were the shooting took place in a commons area. We were there the day they reopened the commons area. And a lot of the students didn't want to enter the commons area because you could still see bullet holes in the walls, and it was just a scene of horror for them. And after we were there for a couple of days, they even told us, you've reframed this space for us. Instead of seeing what bad thing happened, now I see the Goldens. I think about the comfort dogs, because now you've replaced the bad memory with a good one.
I love that. I love how redemptive it is. Most of the dogs have biblical names. Tobias mm-hmm. has a biblical name, but not all the dogs have biblical names. I've noticed that there are some dogs like Flex.
Mm-hmm.
His clearly, I mean, I've looked. Flex is not in the Bible that I can find.
Right.
So there are some, there are comfort dogs specifically, but there are a couple of other kinds of dogs in the comfort dog ministry. Can you tell us about those?
I can. Flex and Brutus and Britta and some of his friends are part of our ministry that we label Care 9, which is specifically to serve veterans. And so to name those dogs, they chose dogs that had died in service. So Flex was a dog that served, I'm not sure what branch, but died in service. And now he serves with one gentleman, and he could tell you the entire story of Flex.
So I love that. I love that there's the Care 9 ministry, and then mm-hmm. there's also the police ministry.
The police ministry, yeah, that's more recent. And there are rules about out of respect for policemen, out of respect for veterans, if your dog is vested for one of those particular ministries, you have to have a veteran serving if your dog's in his military vest. And if you have the police vest, you have to have a policeman who has powers of, I believe it's...
Yeah, they can go into those situations that other people...
Of arrest. Yeah,
exactly. So the you've referred to the vest. So mm-hmm. we have some dogs that I've met who, you know, one day they might be wearing their blue comfort dog vest. And then the next day they might be wearing a camo vest.
Correct.
And then I saw maybe a half a dozen or so dogs that were photographed with their police handlers,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I'm just trying to give people a sense of... the different kinds of work that these dogs do. And friends, you know, if you're listening right now, you're thinking to yourself, this is so cool. Well, exactly. That's why I'm sharing it with you, because I've been saying to myself, this is so cool. And if you want to learn more, we want you to go to LutheranChurchCharities.org and learn about the Comfort Dog Ministries, learn about the Care 9 Ministries for veterans, learn about the police ministry that's related to the Lutheran Church Charities Canine Comfort Dog Ministry. So there's all kinds of branches of this, and yet it's really fairly new. I mean, we're talking about a ministry that's like 10 years old.
Correct.
And yet already in 23 states, engaged with dozens of congregations. And there's like 40 churches right now waiting for dogs. I love that. The people that are walking around who on their name badge, it says they're expecting. Talk with us about like, what does that mean? If I see someone with a name badge and it says they're expecting, what does that mean?
It means that they're a church or a school or something that has gotten in line to get a comfort dog. So they're in the process of getting a comfort dog, and they're assembling their team, and they're here to see how the ministry works. And they kind of already know how the ministry works, but they're involved in to get trained, because we're always being trained. We're always training the dogs, and we ourselves are always trying to fine tune what we do when we go out and do ministry. So those people are waiting for their dogs, and some of them may be waiting for a whole nother year yet. But they're in the queue, so to speak. And I believe Tim said there's about 40 churches in the queue right now.
I know. And only like 20 dogs right now being trained, which
yeah.
means that, right?
Do the math. Yeah. It takes 2,000 hours to train one of the comfort dogs.
It's amazing. It's just really extraordinary. All that goes in to a minister like Tobias. Mm-hmm. It's extraordinary. All right. So, your church, when your church decided it wanted to engage in this ministry, I'm just kind of wondering, like, has it changed anything about the way it feels to be a part of your local congregation? Has it changed the way your local congregation now feels mobilized and a part of ministry nationwide? Like, has there been any internal change in the way your local congregation feels because Tobias is now a part of it?
I think they're proud. I think they're proud when they see him go out and do things. I think they're proud to pass out his business card to people and say, he's from our church, or call him up, send him an email. He'll come visit you. We have people like, we're all ambassadors. We're all part of it. And we do, even if maybe one or two of us go out on a visit, we take everybody with us. They're all in our hearts. They're all praying for us. When I went to Texas after Hurricane Harvey, I sent an audio and it was played at church and they prayed for us down there. And they're all sort of part of the team in that respect. And I think I am blessed to be in a church that is very outward focused, and we all sort of are allowed to, we have a lot of affirmation to do the kinds of things that we feel called to do. And this is one of the things that a group of people felt called to do, and they support it wholeheartedly.
I just love it. It's just so exciting. Jenny, why don't we share with listeners how they can pray for those of you who are the people making all of this happen? And then how can we pray for the places where God already knows that Tobias and his team and the other dogs are going to be sent?
I think praying for strength, praying for humility, praying for courage. We're so honored and blessed to serve, humbled to be serving with these four-legged missionaries. We're just so honored to go into these places. And I think that there are times where we feel sad to leave people behind because we can't stay there forever. And I just want to tell people to carry on that, to pray that not only if we're starting that somewhere, pray for us to carry on with the strength and that Jesus gives us. You know, we're just so filled with what the Lord has done for us, and we want to do it for other people. I think for the places that we visited, I would just pray that they know that we still care about them. We still think about them. They may not know it, but the people that we've interacted with, we lift them up in our hearts because they've been now a part of our story.
So if somebody wants to follow Tobias on social media, what is his favorite social media follow?
Well, he's pretty active on Facebook. Tobias Comfort Dog is his Facebook page. He has an Instagram, which is LCC K9 Tobias. And he's on Twitter, not as much on Twitter, but maybe he needs to get on Twitter a little bit more.
All right, LCC K9 Tobias is his Instagram, mm-hmm. And his Facebook is?
Tobias Comfort Dog.
Tobias Comfort Dog. I will be posting, or I will be tagging him in a post that I'm posting. Okay, friends, it really is fun to share with you, Jenny. Thank you so much for being with us here on Connecting Faith. Friends, you are listening to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge, and when we come back, I'll be making the connecting point. Hey, Ted, thank you for today's music.
Having some fun. Thanks.
That is so fun. All right, you guys are listening to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. It is Friday. Maybe we're just going to have fun on Friday for a little while. That's very refreshing. All right, folks, you are listening to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. This is the point in the show where we like to make the connecting point. And so I thought that I would share with you a little bit about, what I've learned this week about following Jesus and the concept of obedience, right? So these dogs, I mean, again, it's pretty extraordinary that there are more than 100 dogs in this hotel at this conference. There's 500 people and again, you know, like 100 dogs, and there's no barking. There's no growling. There's no messing around. They're extraordinarily obedient. And so obviously they're not only well trained, but they're well handled. And so the dog handlers use a set of very basic commands. Now, I've actually learned since arriving that some of these dogs know as many as 45 commands, but there's 7 very basic ones. And so when they invited me to come and offer a keynote address, they shared with me that the conference theme this year was the first of these basic commands. And it's with me. With me is one of the most basic commands that a dog learns. And so the question, you know, for the week or the weekend is, are you with me? And if we're going to follow the command of the master to be with him, that's just a serious question for us to ask ourselves as Christians. Am I with Jesus in the things that he is about? Am I really with him? And so we had a little fun in our time together here at this Lutheran Church Charities Canine Comfort Dog event, as I walked around in these seven basic commands. So I'm going to give them to you. With me, sit, down, stay, come, wait. And the last one is play. However, I couldn't say the last one because if I had said play in the environment that we were in, all 100 of those dogs would have emerged immediately from under those tables and there would have been pandemonium. And so I never said the word play during our time together here at the event. I also learned there are lots of other commands. Here are some of those. Rise, side, give, drop, nudge, lap, off, leave it, and free. So I started asking around. Like, you could have endless conversations about obedience to the commands of Christ. If you were to use the simple question, am I as obedient to Jesus Christ as I expect my dog to be to me? So that's been sort of the conversation I've been having with folks here in our time together. Am I as obedient to Christ in his commands to me as I expect my dog to be to me? So when Christ says come, when Christ says heal or sit or stay or leave it or wait, do I do as he commands? So the question leads off with me. Are you with me? Jesus is certainly with us and Jesus is for us, but are we with him and are we for him? Is there anywhere that your dog won't go with you? My guess is no. But is there anywhere that I resist going with Jesus? How quickly do I obey the with me command from Christ? Now, the with me command is made possible by the with me promise. So dogs are willing to obey because these dogs trust the goodness and faithfulness and character of their handlers. Do we trust that God is good and faithful in handling us? And the answer to that question is God is certainly worthy of our trust. God is certainly good and faithful, but not everybody knows that. And so the with me command is really built upon the with me promise. It is Jesus who says, I will be with you even to the end of the age. We do not fear, for the Lord is with us. And then the command comes, or the question, are you with me, says Jesus to his followers. The next command is sit. Now, this one can be pretty hard for those of us who are type A problem-solving doers. The sit command brings to mind the story of Mary and Martha. How long will you sit? When was the last time you just sat at the feet of Jesus? Sitting is not just passive lounging. If you've ever seen an obedient dog following a sit command, they are sitting at attention. It's a posture of alert preparedness. They are ready to move when the next command comes. If you're looking for the sort of flat on the floor command, that's the command down. So when you command a dog down, you expect him to go all the way down. And when applied to the Christian life, the image here is that of lying prostrate in humility before the Lord. It's also the posture of rest. So let me encourage you over the weekend to get a little downtime with God. Get a little downtime in prayer, humble prayer. Get a little downtime in worship, prostrate before him. Get a little downtime over the weekend in simple rest. Next comes the command to stay. Now, we like the stay command if we like the circumstances that we're in. We like the stay command if we are sitting on a beach. We like the stay command if we're lying in a hammock in the mountains. We do not like the stay command if we would really much rather be somewhere else with someone else doing something else. It occurs to me that there are times after Jesus has healed individuals that they want to go with him. And instead, he requires them to stay. They don't actually get to travel with Jesus and his band of disciples and go on to the next place. Jesus commands them to stay. You remember when Jesus ordered the disciples to stay in Jerusalem after his crucifixion and resurrection, promising that power would come upon them if they'd only wait for it? How hard is it for us to follow the stay command? I mean, that's just a good question. It's hard for us to stay in a relationship or a job or a town or a church when we'd much rather just, well, move on to something else. The stay command is hard to heed, but the reward of being still and trusting God to be God is always worth it. Now, the next command is one of my favorites. I don't know what would have happened if I had said the command to come to all the dogs in the room yesterday. But here's why. Because I don't know if these dogs would follow the come command if it's not issued by one of their handlers, by their master, by their top dog, which isn't me. And so, you know, when Jesus issues the come command, when he says to us that we should come, come and follow him, come and be with him, come and see, do we do it? Now, most of the time that Jesus used the come command, it was attached to the word follow, come and follow. But in one instance, Jesus actually issued the come command as an invitation to abide in him. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, even rest for your soul." Do you know anybody who needs some soul rest? Do you? All that's necessary is to answer the command to come. Come to the one who created you, redeemed you, loves you, and calls you to himself. Come, just as you are. Come. There's one other place where Jesus issues the come command that I wanted to highlight, and that's in Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus says to Peter, come. Now, at the particular point in time when Jesus orders Peter to come, Peter is actually safe in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is not in the boat. He is out there on the water. That's when Jesus says, come. So I want you to ask yourself, would you obey that command under those circumstances? And that's really the question for each of us every single day. When Jesus issues a command, whatever it is, whatever the circumstances, do I trust and obey, or do I second guess, rationalize, and hesitate? The next command on the list is wait. Wait right here. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Wait for further instructions. Wait and watch. Wait and see. Wait. Do you like waiting? Waiting rooms, waiting in line, waiting for answers. Lots of people with whom we minister each and every day are in times of waiting. And waiting is fraught with anxiety and fear. Waiting, in fact, is often the hardest part. So let us wait patiently for the Lord, confident that he hears our cries. But let us follow the command to wait. And then finally, there's the command that's left on this list of basic commands. And for dogs, in the dog handler's arsenal of commands, it's everyone's favorite command, and it's the command to play. It's also, apparently, in some circles, the command is free. So just think about that. Think about free play. Now, this is the command that nobody around here at this convention ever wanted me to say out loud, because it results in unleashed joy. It turns the world upside down. And I think for us, it's like the anticipation of heaven. It's the trumpet sound, the clarion call, the dinner bell, the proverbial dog whistle to the children of God that recess has come. Let us play. Let us be joyful. Let us rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. All right, friends, get out there and play today. That is an order or a command of God to enjoy the good creation that he has made, and our redemption in it. That's all we got time for today here on Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. Have a great weekend, and God bless. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Connecting Faith. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend to grow the impact of Connecting Faith.
Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player and never miss a conversation.